Another vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Momuzi, alongside me, as always, the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, how you doing?
Oh, I'm great. Well, it's Friday. It's beautiful.
Your Bulls won a crazy game last night.
Nah, you know, you win some, you lose some, and great. You know, if anyone I'm happy for is the coaching there, Billy Donovan. Billy has been excellent with all of the changes that have occurred there in Chicago. And for him to keep this team playing at the level, you know, I don't know what their record is over the last 10 games or so, but they seem to be competitive. They came out on the West Coast, won a few games out there.
Yeah, they come back home. Doing what they do to maintain mediocrity and stay in the 10th seed rather than getting a good draft pick.
And I remember when the trade occurred with Josh Giddey. You know, there were some rumblings there. They could have gotten this, they could have gotten that. Well, quietly, Josh Giddey, in particular over the last week or so, he's really put up some big time numbers. Big time numbers. So, you know, coaching matters, and Billy Donovan has done a terrific job, and you play the hand that you've been dealt. And I think that's if there's been a silver lining with this season, you know, people forget Billy Donovan is a Hall of Fame collegiate coach, and he has done a really excellent job, in my opinion, with this team and what they've done and all of the roster moves and things that have happened there. And he keeps them. He keeps the train on the track, and they keep playing. So, but it was a fun game, and not a fun game if you were a Laker fan, but if you were a Bulls fan,
you were neutral.
That was a great game. Yeah, that was.
There's a full breakdown of it on the Hoop Genius YouTube channel. You guys can go and check that out.
Well, what you breaking down, Mo? What you breaking down?
I broke down the final minute of that game.
What'd you break down?
we took a look at some of the out of bounds plays that both teams used coming out of timeouts.
Let me guess, they probably ran the same play, both teams.
Yeah. Well, actually, the Lakers had a slight variation. JJ Redick put a slight variation into his. Lakers had more counters and options going off of theirs. You know, what else did we look at? We looked at what the defense was doing, why Patrick Williams was open for that three-pointer, why LeBron turned the ball over in that crucial play, which ended up in a Kobe White three. What Austin Reeves was doing in the fourth quarter, and then, of course, the half-court buzzer beater from Josh Giddey. So it's a nice little video you guys can check out. But today on the show, we said we'd answer some of your questions.
Okay.
And BJ, the people demand to know. Breaking news from the worldwide leader in sports, ESPN. The people want your reaction to this, BJ.
My reaction?
Your reaction to this shocking news that ESPN delivered us yesterday.
Okay.
LeBron James unfollowed Kendrick Perkins on Instagram, and Kendrick Perkins then blocked LeBron James's cell phone number.
Absolutely. Excuse me, what does that mean?
I don't even know. Shattering news. I don't know, BJ. This is the worldwide leader in sports. This is groundbreaking news that they put on national TV. And the people...
Yeah, I don't even know. What does that mean? I don't even know what that means. Like, so... before I could give you my reaction. Okay, so... One guy did what? What did one guy do?
He unfollowed another guy.
Okay, so what does that mean?
So, you know, you follow people on social media. He unfollowed him. He unfollowed.
So, hold on. I just want to make sure I understand it. So, I'm following Mo on whatever, one of the platforms.
On Instagram. You follow him.
You're following me.
Okay.
And then...
You press the follow button to unfollow me, so you're not on my posts.
So I no longer see your posts. Yes. But I can see your posts, but I'm just not seeing them if I follow you.
Yeah, they're just not caught up in your feed.
Okay. So then I unfollow you. So what does that mean? Like, does that mean like, what does that mean?
BJ, I don't really get into the business of looking at who follows me.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like,
not
what
a
is
teenage
it?
Teenage girl.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. So what does this mean? Tell me, hold on, before you tell me what Kendrick did. So what does that mean though? Like, so if I'm following you, Mo, and then I unfollow you, what am I saying to you via social media? What am I saying to you?
Apparently,
what
is that? You don't rock with me no more, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Even though I wouldn't even notice if you would unfollow me or not, because why would I be checking that? You
And
know what I mean?
how do the other people know who's following who?
You can see who follows who. You know, if you go on someone's profile, you can see who they follow. So Kendrick Perkins must have gone on Celebron's Instagram to check if he still follows him.
Oh, okay.
Instead of
All
watching
right.
a game and breaking down what's happening, he went on Instagram to check if LeBron still follows him.
Okay, so
And then when he
he's not
found out that
following.
he didn't follow him, he blocked his number on his cell phone because he was upset. Oh man, this is the world I need in sports, ESPN.
Okay. All right.
Anyway,
I think you're more qualified to answer that than I am, because I have no idea
I
what that
think I'm more
means.
qualified to answer. Let me not even go there. My friends tell me I've got to stop criticizing the TV networks. They say if you want to work on the TV networks, you got to stop criticizing them. I said, well, they got to stop doing stupid stuff then. I call a spade a spade. I ain't kissing ass to get nowhere. It just is what it is at this point.
Okay. All right.
Anyway,
So
that
thanks for
was
the
yesterday's
question.
discussion.
Yeah, thanks for the question. What's the next question?
Well, we could do some real basketball questions. Before that, I have something funny that I shared on Instagram yesterday that I wanted to share with you, BJ.
Okay. Do I have to follow you to get it, or
No, no, no.
do
I'm
I?
gonna
Okay.
send it to your WhatsApp right now, okay?
Okay.
ChatGPT yesterday, which is an AI model, they released an update where you can now generate images, right? Where you can tell them, create an image of Kevin Durant scoring over Luka Doncic, and it will just make an image of that happening, right? I asked ChatGPT to make a movie star poster for the Hoop Genius podcast. Would you like to see what it made?
Sure.
Here we go. That's what it made. He recognized these guys. Do you recognize these people? That's apparently what the AIs think we look like.
It's pretty funny,
And
but
then,
this is artificial intelligence,
oh,
correct?
yeah. And it
Yeah.
gets worse
Okay.
because I told it to do it again and do it better. And look what it did this time.
Okay.
Then we got this one, which is a little bit better.
Okay.
What do you think of
No.
one? And then this one. And then this one. I feel like it's getting closer to me, but it's just not even recognizing you. And then, do you want to see the final one that it came up with? This is what the AIs are doing. Do you want to see the final one it came up with? It turned me into a white man. I look like Adam Sandler's cousin doing a podcast with a fan in a Bulls jersey.
Good luck with what is this? What is this? Chat GBT, whatever it's called. What's it called?
Chat GPT.
Yeah, good luck with that. Okay. Good luck. You just got rid of a few brain cells doing that exercise. Okay, good for you guys. Maybe that's why they call it artificial. So, yeah, I don't have time for any of that. That's you guys. That's your life. Good luck with it.
Well, let's answer some real basketball questions now.
Okay.
Andy Williams, resident Jazz fan in our Discord server, says, why isn't Kyle Filipowski being talked about as Rookie of the Year? Ross says it's because his name sounds like a hockey player. BJ, you watch a lot of Jazz games. What do you think of Kyle Filipowski?
He has a chance to be a really good player. First of all, had a slow start to the beginning of the season, which is to be expected by most rookies, and he's really come on strong. So I think he has done very well for himself. I think the Jazz have done very well with drafting him in the second round.
Yeah,
He's
he
been
slid
he's
because of the weird rumors about his babysitter and all of this stuff going
well,
on.
again, that's I think that's
Rumors.
I think those are the rumors. That's part of your AI. thing again. I think he slid because, you know, the people that were doing the drafting felt that there were other people that were better. It's very simple. Your job as an executive is to verify the rumors from, you know, believe it or not, Mo, they're not drafting on rumors. You're spending millions and millions of dollars.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
Well, I can assure you, they're spending millions of dollars to get to the bottom of what's real and what are rumors. And frankly, you know, you haven't, you know, I tell you this all the time. You haven't drafted, you haven't participated in the draft until you get one of them wrong. And you're going to get them wrong, right? You don't know. And the reason you don't know is because you can't measure what's in a man's heart and what's in his mind. You can look at the talent. You can do all of the background. You can do all of the stats, comparisons, projections. But you don't know how someone's going to react. You don't know how someone's going to deal with adversity until you get them in your building. And he has been a terrific, terrific pick for the Jazz. There's a lot of promise, a lot of upside, and the Jazz should be very, very happy about having an opportunity to draft this young man in the second round and what he's been able to do. So I do watch the Jazz quite frequently and almost every night that they're on. And he has done well for himself. I think he has a really good career. He has a really good career ahead of him. And it'd be interesting to see what he does here as his career moves forward.
He's shooting over 50% from the field and almost 40% from three on the season. Over the last 20 games since February the 8th, he's shot 54.7% from the field and 46.4% from three on four attempts per game. That includes the 8 games that he started, putting up a couple assists and 7 rebounds in that span of games. So, you know, the numbers are showing it, even though people doubt if NBA numbers in March are real, because March in the NBA seems to go a little bit crazy. But, you know, he's got the high advantage to make the perimeter shooting a little easy. And I'm excited to see this Jazz team with him and Isaiah as well. Cody Williams, you've got Keontae George there. They've got some real good young pieces over there in Utah. And they're going to end up with another one because, you know, March Madness has been going crazy a little bit. Do you see Cooper Flagg last night?
I've been watching him for years. So, you know, he
same, but
yeah, he's just doing what he's always been doing. So this is, it's great that you can see him perform on a stage like this in a high pressure situation, which was the Sweet 16. And they beat a very good team, Arizona, last night. So, but he's been doing this for years now. This isn't anything new for people like myself who've been watching this young man since high school. So, you know, if he decides to go pro, someone's going to get a very good player.
What did you think about that? Those rumors about him staying in Duke for another season. That's very rare for a projected number one overall.
Well, it's very rare, but when you pull the curtain back and you begin to look at it, makes total sense. Makes total sense. You know, where you go matters. So why wouldn't you hold that?
What, so you avoid in case like the Hornets or the Wizards?
Well, you're not avoiding anything. You're just letting people know that you are aware of the decisions that are being made. You aren't just making a decision to say and randomly see what happened. You want to hold on to the fact, let people know that, yes, I'm thinking about this decision. I'm thinking about where I want to live in life. I'm thinking about who I would like to play for. I'm thinking about when you, believe it or not, Mo, when people make life decisions like what company or where they want to live or spouse or significant other and people you want to work with, why wouldn't an athlete do the same? Why is this rare? This isn't rare. This is just business.
Well, I mean, it's rare because when you're the projected number one pick in a draft, that's millions of dollars on the table. So to stay in college for an extra year, risk injury or potentially sliding down in the following draft, thereby limiting your immediate earnings upon entering the league, That would be why this is rare.
And the people who do best in life always bet on themselves.
Correct.
The people who do best bet on yourself. If you are who you say you are, then you're going to succeed. So slipping and all those things, I you don't allow that. That's like playing a game and saying, well, if I miss the shot, I might lose. No, you compete. This is how you know most people don't understand competition. This is why they're always living in fear and avoiding competing. What will happen if I don't make the shot? I'll lose the game, and then we'll go to Chat GPT to figure out what it looks like. Like, who
Shout out to
cares?
Daryl Morey.
Okay, who cares? Okay, so this young man, I've watched him. It's one thing he's not lacking is confidence within himself. If you are who you say you are, the NBA will be there this year, next year, and the year after.
Well, one of my favorite players from college basketball was a man named Jared Sullinger, who played for
Okay.
Ohio State, right? And
Okay.
he was a projected lottery pick in the NBA draft, but he chose to spend an extra year in college.
Okay.
And in that year, he then picked up an injury that was flagged during the pre-draft process. And he went from a lottery pick to the 21st overall pick, currently now plays in China. So there's no guarantee that because you're the projected number one pick this year, you will be next year as
Okay,
well,
so
even if you do bet on yourself.
here's a key word, projected. Who's projecting?
And literally
Oh,
everyone. Do you
okay,
see a world in
who?
which Cooper Flagg is not a top three pick?
So here, but again, Mo, I get it what the narratives are. Let me assure our listeners. The only people that are making these drafts are the 30 owners. Scouts, experts, they're not drafting. I'm gonna repeat that. The only people that are writing the checks are the what they call themselves now, the governors, the scouts, coaches, executives. They can make their recommendations. The experts on these platforms, everyone can make their projections. The only people that are gonna make the call is the guys writing the check. Now, there are 30 people that you have to verify, not project. You don't go into the green room talking about a projection. Okay? I've had a little experience sitting down in the green room. I don't go into the green room and tell the client, based on the projections, here's what we think. All right? You have to verify. It's nice that these experts who aren't involved in the draft process are giving you their opinions. That's called you're uninformed by looking at those rankings. Why would you, Mo, you're going to be an executive. Why would you tell everyone who you're going to draft if you knew you were getting a lottery pick? Why would you? Just give me one good reason.
I mean, there are some years where everyone knows who's going to be the pick. Like everyone knew Wembanyama was going to be the number one pick. Everyone knew Zion was going to be the number one pick. So on and so forth. You don't even need to say it. Everyone just knows it.
Okay, you can say it. You can say it. However, this young man talking about Cooper Flagg, I don't know if he said that or not, but he has been the number one ranked player for quite some time since high school. So clearly, he has a level of confidence. Whether or not he's the number one player is debatable. But what we do know is he has exhibited two things. He wins, bottom line. He was the they were the best team in high school. They were the best team. They looked like one of the best teams here in college. And he looks like he carries himself with the confidence to say, hey, I'm the best player on the floor every single night. Now, I can respect that. And not only is he doing it on the offensive end, but defensively, that's probably where he thrives right now. He's probably a better defensive player than he is an offensive player, from what I can see. from afar. Once his offense catches up with his defense, he has a chance to be a very, very good player on both ends. His passing, his ball handling, decision-making, shooting, and defensively, he's always been a defensive player. Always. Since I've been watching him. So why would you? Why wouldn't you exhibit that level of confidence? Because he could be impactful, Mo. Very rarely do you see a young player that can be impactful. He looks like he can be one of them. At the very least, he's going to be a really, really good player on a really, really good team. At the very least. I think that's his downside. Now, what he's going to bring, what's he going to add, only he knows that. But based on what I can see today, very rarely you're going to see a young player at his age be as complete of a player that this young man has, you know, what he has displayed here at a young age. I'm really excited for his career, and someone, if he decides to come into the draft, is going to get a really good player. However, if he decides to stay, he's going to be even a better player because his improvement from last year to this year is very noticeable. Mm-hmm. So that makes lets 18, me know.
Born in 2006.
So when you start looking at draft status and performance, those are two different things. Remember now, some of the greatest players to ever play, they weren't drafted number one. Mm-hmm. We just talked about the kid at Utah, Filipowski. He was drafted in the second round.
I never thought I'd hear some of the greatest players to ever play followed up with Karl Filipowski.
Some of the best players.
Draymond Green, second round.
So Manu Ginobili. This draft stuff is out of whack, in my opinion. Just get there. Just get there, and then let's see what happens. You're not playing and going, hey, I was the third pick, so I should be better than this guy who was drafted eighth. And it doesn't matter. Just get there. So what I know about this young man and the reason I'm excited for him is very rarely do you see a player in high school and improve when you see him play 6 or 7 months later. This lets me know that this isn't about draft status for him. He's putting in work, okay? And I don't care where he gets drafted. But I can assure you this, wherever he gets drafted, 1, 30, or 60, someone's going to get a good player.
30 would be amazing if we could get him on the Boston Celtics.
Okay, wherever he goes. So I'm not concerned about draft status when I see young people working. Slipping in the draft. If you're working, Paul Pierce, for instance, according to the experts, he slipped. Paul Pierce had a Hall of Fame career. Who cares?
Yep.
If you're putting in that work, you're going to be the best version of yourself no matter where you get drafted. And that is a career. So as I tell all young people, are you here to get drafted or are you here to have a career?
Absolutely.
And if you're looking to have a career, just get there. And then all the other stuff will take care of itself.
UK Boston Celtics say, do you think the Celtics will win a championship without Jason Tatum?
No.
Absolutely not. Obviously, the Celtics are a good team. They're a well-constructed roster. They can win regular season games without their best player. But in the playoffs, you need your best player. When you look at the way the Celtics played, even in the NBA Finals.
They can't win without two players, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They need both of those players. To even have an opportunity.
The playoffs last year, Jason Tatum was commanding so much attention from the defense, and you can see it when you watch him this season. They're guarding him pretty much as soon as he crosses the halfway line. They're constantly throwing two defenders at him, and his evolution as a passer and a playmaker, getting his teammates involved, has been, and it will be, throughout the playoff run for the Celtics, a key part of their success and why they're able to win games. You know, everyone talks about the Celtics shoot so many threes. Well, there's a reason why they're open for so many threes. I'm not thinking any less of Jason Tatum or overestimating Celtics because they beat the Phoenix Suns without him. Phoenix Suns are 10th in the West for a reason, or whatever they are in the West right now. Come on. AG says, according to data, OKC is one of the greatest teams in NBA history. Does inexperience still play a major part in their playoff run? We kind of spoke about this yesterday, but let's expand on that a little bit. Statistically speaking, BJ, whatever metric you want to look at, this is one of the best regular season teams that we've seen. It's weird to say that this might be the best OKC regular season team that we've seen in their franchise history. And this is a team that had Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook on their roster. That's pretty insane when you think about three surefire Hall of Fame guys, even after James Harden left, Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. And yet this is their best record that they've had in a regular season this season.
Well, the league has changed. Okay, so this is the best regular season. Okay, half of the teams are tanking. Just let me know, should I be impressed? Or should I sit here and just start looking at... Now, if we just want to look at the stat sheet and start comparing, all right, I'll do that if that's what you want to do. Half of the teams are tanking. We just sat here, you just told me March is a little different. And then we bring out stats. Okay, I'm not taking away anything. Those are the other team's problems. OKC, they're going to play 82 games like everyone else. I respect what they've done. I respect the players. However, here's the era in which it is what it is. We're fining teams, Mo, for not playing their players. I don't recall that happening a few years ago. Okay? They're fining players or fining teams, the league, for not having their key players. Last night, I had to go out for literally a walk, a drive. I saw the Indiana Pacers score 162 points.
I was going to call you, but I knew you'd be too angry.
On a back-to-back versus the Wizards. After traveling from Indianapolis to Washington, landing, getting in at about 2 a.m., clearly, everyone went to sleep by 2:30 so that they can be ready to perform against the Wizards. And they put up 162 points on a back-to-back.
And they could have put up more. The fans were booing them for not scoring in the final minute. The Wizards fans were booing them for not scoring. That's insane.
So this is a new era. Let's just recognize what it is. And again, when we start comparing now, before we start saying greatest, how, what are the metrics, what are we observing, and what are we seeing, and then just say, hey, this is what it is. This is a very good team, but the regular season is the regular season. Let's see what this team does once the playoffs begin. That's where they're going to, you know, verify everything that we need to know. And that's where it should be. So every great team has always been measured and evaluated on how it performs in the playoffs. And we should hold this team accountable against that measurement. Great regular season, respect it, but that's where you're going to gain your reputation right there.
The OKC Thunder best regular season was 60-22 in 2013 with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. The Seattle Supersonics had a few seasons where they won 61, 63, and 64 games, respectively. The Thunder currently sit at 61-12, meaning that they should, if they stay on track, win more than 64 games in this regular season. That 96 Supersonics team was the one that won 64 games. Was that the year the Supersonics got to the finals as well? 96, right?
Somewhere around there. That's Gary Payton and Sean Kemp and those guys. Yeah, that was a very good team.
So we're going to have to see, excuse me, we're going to have to see how this shakes out for the OKC Thunder, because the Western Conference is looking very tough right now. As it currently stands, they would play either the Warriors, Timberwolves, Mavericks, or Kings in that 1-8 matchup. And, you know, you might see the Warriors or the Timberwolves. And that's a pretty daunting first round as far as first round matchups can go. The Timberwolves have got things together as the season's progressed. The Warriors made a trade and improved as the season's gone on. I think yesterday they announced Gary Payton Jr. was out injured.
Yeah, what happened? What kind of injury?
The news came out yesterday that he has a partially torn ligament in his left thumb. He's out 3 to 6 weeks.
Oh, that's gonna affect them. Okay.
But yeah, they could be headed to a first round matchup with the OKC Thunder. But the thing is, with the Western Conference standings, right now there is between the second seed and the eighth seed, there is 6.5 games separating them, with 10 games left to play in this season. So anyone, you know, like 6, 7, and 8 are separated by half a game. And then 4 and 5 are only, 2.5 games ahead of them, the Lakers and the Grizzlies. And then the Nuggets are 1.5 games ahead of them. And then the Rockets are 2 games ahead of them. Like, the whole thing could shift over the course of the next 10 games. We've really got to lock in here. But OKC are comfortably the number one pick, number one team. And there's no way, I don't think, mathematically, of anyone catching OKC in first. So, you know, they're solidified with their home court advantage. I think the Celtics are one win away from having home court advantage in any series, except for if they played the Cavs or the Thunder. So they'll be hoping someone takes the Thunder out from early. Another question we have from Chris H. He says, what are the main things BJ has taken away from coaching so far?
What are the main things? That's a great question. You know, every game you learn something. You learn about yourself. And one thing I've learned about myself is, you know, it's very hard, okay, to get people or get a group to have a collective thought. That's very hard. That's called culture. And it's very hard to do it if you don't practice, right? And clearly, when you're dealing with youth sports, you're donating your time and you have to respect the time of the parents and the kids and what they're capable of doing. So what have I learned? Probably the most valuable lesson is why you coach. And that's to unselfish behavior. You're encouraging people to acknowledge one another. You're encouraging people to be comfortable just giving your best effort. And you're encouraging people to respect other people's time. So when we do have practice, be mindful of trying to show up on time. Be mindful of sharing the basketball with one another. Be mindful of being, you know, just doing your best. So that's what I've learned most, is that whether you're playing, you know, 9 and under, 10 and under, junior high school, college, pro, is to selfish behavior. And that is the lesson. And I'm sure there are many more if I continue, you know, coaching for some reason. But it's been great. I love the kids. Now, that's one thing I love more than anything. I love the kids. I love their response. I love when they achieve something together. Probably my favorite thing is listening to what they say to one another during practice. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always said my favorite time of playing, the only thing I miss about playing is the bus ride. Because that's when the funniest things happen. People say the craziest stuff. And the bus ride to the airport after a win on the road, that was my favorite. That's my favorite moment. Now that's where all the podcasts should be filmed, is on the road going to the airport after a win. That's the only thing that I miss in the NBA. But my plan to actually, I love that part of it in college as well. That's fun. So I do love the kids. I love being around young people and watching them grow, watching them get better, watching the team. So it's been fun. It's been a fun experience.
Absolutely. We love it. And you guys got your playoffs starting, right? We're talking about the NBA playoffs. You guys have got your playoffs
Yeah,
starting.
we did, and we lost Mo in the semifinals. Yeah,
Oh.
we lost in the semifinals. So we lost our team. Kids were great. And
Run it back.
yeah, so we did. We lost in the second round, and we played this weekend in the consolation bracket. But our kids, we had great kids. I mean, just amazing kids, parents, and they play their little hearts out. And the other team, they play terrific. They played great. And sometimes that's how it happens. But we've had a lot of fun, and we play our final game this Saturday.
Well, best of luck to you and the team. The final thing we've got to discuss before we get out of here, the NBA and FIBA have today, yesterday, announced their joint exploration of a new professional men's basketball league in Europe that would bring the sport to more European fans and accelerate the game's growth across the continent, according to the press release. BJ, what are your thoughts on this European league? It says that franchises will be placed in major city, maybe PSG and Paris get one. London, they've looked at. Manchester City have got a lot of money. They're going to have franchises here. They won't be playing in the NBA. It'll be a separate league. And the NBA will own 50% of all the teams. Teams will be valued at around 500 million a piece. But what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think, I've been watching this since the 90s, this globalization, I should say, of the NBA. And this is not surprising. I think eventually it was bound to happen, since the 92 Olympics, when the NBA under, at that time, was Commissioner David Stern, began the globalization of the NBA game in particular. So I think this is just continuing. You see it with Commissioner Adam Silver. The game is continuing to expand and look for new emerging markets and new opportunities. And I think it was inevitable. It's inevitable that this was going to happen. You can look at our league now, and I say our league. You can look at the league, the NBA, and if you begin to look at the rosters and pay attention to that, over a quarter of the players now are international players. So this move should not be surprising. It's just a reflection of where the game is going. It's truly now a global game. This is the direction in which we were going. This is the direction in which this all started. So, I when you look at the MVPs of the last 6 or 7 years now, they've all been international players. And this year will be no exception. When I say, there will be no exception. So here we are. Now it's truly a global game. That was the idea. This should be no surprise for many of us who've been watching this happen for so long. Yeah, it's news, but wasn't that the goal? That was the goal. And here's what we're doing. So I think it's going to be great for the league, from this standpoint. The NBA game now, the NBA game is the only game that was played in the NBA.
No way.
So what? No, well, think about this, Mo. Think about this. Now, you have FIBA rules, which are different rules.
Yes.
You have collegiate basketball, NCAA, there are different rules. You have high school, that's here. You have AAU. You have all these different versions of the game of basketball. Now, we have two baskets and we have a ball. That's the only similarity. The games are totally different. Now, what's fascinating to me is now that we're calling it NBA Europe, I was looking at the press release. My immediate question was, are they playing by NBA rules or are they playing by FIBA rules? Because if the goal is to highlight NBA, at what point will the rest of the world begin to be exposed to the game by NBA rules? That has been the most fascinating thing to me. And the reason I say that is because here in America, we traditionally have gone to college for 2, 3, 4 years before entering into the NBA. Now the players aren't staying in college for that length of time. And now what you're seeing, there's been a shift. The international players who are playing by FIBA rules for an extended amount of time, 2, 3, 4 years, when they get to the NBA, it appears to be that they're more prepared now than the domestic players. It appears to me that the international game translates better to the way the game is being played in the NBA currently now, because they've changed all the rules. The NBA game is more similar now to the FIBA game, which it was a totally different game in the previous generation. Hand checking and so forth and so on. So now it's NBA Europe. I'm interested to see the coaching aspect of this. Are they going to begin to play by NBA rules? Are they going to maintain FIBA rules? Or it's going to be some type of mixture or hybrid of both? And if it is, how's that going to affect the teaching of the game now that the NBA has influence in Europe and the rest of the world? So I'm fascinated about the teaching of this new formed partnership that clearly FIBA and the NBA had to talk about, and what that's going to look like to the coaching of the game. So I think in the next 15 years or so, or yeah, probably about, it's going to probably take a generation or two, what that's going to look like and how they're going to teach the game. Because outside of the NBA, who else is more qualified to teach the NBA game other than people who participated in the NBA? It's not taught anywhere else in the world other than here. Think about that moment. You don't play in London by NBA rules, right? Just like we don't play FIBA rules when we go to the go to the park.
When I go to the park, there ain't no rules.
Yeah, so I am interested to see the teaching aspect moving forward for the rest of the world and what that's going to look like and who's going to emerge as the leader in that. Because now the NBA is basically saying the following: we are entering into youth sports. That's basically what they're saying.
Yeah.
And they're doing it globally.
It's going to be real, real interesting.
So I am fascinated by this move.
Yeah.
And I know they made the thing, the NBA Europe, they're going to have teams. But what they're really saying is we are partnering with their partners,
FIBA,
Nike, and all of these people to come in and have influence now on youth sports and what that's going to look like. So I am very, very interested with this move because it's literally going to affect how the game is going to look globally. And this to me is a major, major move. They kind of just said it and didn't explain it. But I've been following this very closely because I'm very interested on the teaching of the game. And the reason being is because if you want a better student, you have to give them better teachers. So I think this will be an enormous opportunity for youth coaches to really emerge here and have influence and be very impactful on what the game is going to look like. Because there's some kid right now that's 8, 9, or 10 years old that could be exposed to the NBA rules if they go in that direction at a much earlier age. Because our generation, for instance, the first time that I participated in an NBA, you know, an NBA event was after I was drafted in the NBA. Okay. I think this could be now you're talking about giving a 9-year-old or 10-year-old maybe an opportunity to play by NBA rules, potentially at a much earlier age, which would speed up the process, provided that's the direction they go in. So this could be good. I'm looking forward to it, and we'll see what it does.
Speaking of the NBA in Europe, I tweeted a while ago the NBA coming back to Manchester, and that got a lot of buzz. I would like to clarify it's not signed yet. They're still choosing whether it will be Manchester or London or a mixture of both or even another destination in Europe, which I'm not going to tell you guys right now. But yeah, stay tuned because the NBA will be back most likely in the UK in January 2026. So we'll be there. And the NBA Europe League will be coming soon after that. And I'm advocating right now for Mr. Armstrong here to be one of those teachers of the game here in Europe. We get Mr. Perry as an executive in one of the teams. And it would also mean that we can do the podcast in person and do it at a reasonable hour. I'm looking forward to it. Mr. Silver, I hope you're listening.
Well, I just hope that Mo would have the discipline to go to bed at night if that were to happen. Because regardless of what happens or what you say you blame, you're not going to go to sleep anyway. So.
Hey, be there. I don't sleep in the off season either.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. So don't pretend like you're the only reason you're staying up is for the podcast. No. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not it. So we'll see what happens with all of that. But I'm not gonna allow you to slip that through. We caught that.
That's crazy.
Okay.
Well, anyway, that's been another week here at the Hoop Genius Podcast. BJ, appreciate you as always. Appreciate you guys for listening. As I mentioned at the start of the show, you can check out some breakdowns I've been putting on the Hoop Genius YouTube channel. Go and look at all that stuff. We'll be back on Monday with more, or we might not be back on Monday. I would like to wish all of our listeners an early Eid Mubarak. The month of Ramadan will be coming to an end.
Okay.
It'll be a celebration. So I'll be going to go see some family and friends. So maybe I'll be back on Monday. Maybe I'll be back on Tuesday. I don't know yet. But stay tuned. We will be back next week as the season continues to roll on and the playoffs are almost within touching distance. We're just 2 weeks away from the playing games now, and then the playoff bracket will be set. So subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And most importantly, until next time, get buckets.